Lillard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. No Willard and Dibs this week. They're off for Thanksgiving. They'll be back on Monday here on Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Sitting in for them today, yesterday as well. It's Mark Randy, the great Loneal, one of the greatest fullbacks of all time. Jay Hutchinson, you read his stuff on 95.7 The Game, writing about the Niners and all things Bay Area sports. And now we have the opportunity to catch up, as we do every week here on this show on Willard and Dibs, with the great Greg Cosell, NFL Films. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? That's River Islands in Lathrop. Greg, happy early Thanksgiving. Thanks for taking up the time. As always, how you doing on this fine Tuesday?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We're doing all right. Can't complain. We're trying to make sense of what happened to the Niners on Sunday in Green Bay. 38-10 was the final score. We've just been talking about Deebo Samuel. We had Mark Schlereth on earlier, and he's saying Deebo does not look like the old Deebo. We're thinking the same thing. What is the tape telling you? Specifically, the last couple of weeks, he only had one offensive touch in Green Bay. It was a trick play. He had a ball bounce off his hands or go right between his hands for an interception by the Packers that turned the game around. What is the tape telling you about Deebo Samuel? Does it still look the same, or is Deebo not the same player anymore?
What do you think? Let me ask you this. What do you think Deebo Samuel is as a player?
He's one of the more unique offensive weapons that we've seen in recent years in the NFL.
Right. What do you think his best traits are?
Ball carrying, breaking tackles, making defenders miss, and getting extra yards, more than you would expect.
Right. So he did that on a play. It was kind of a gimmick play, but that was the play. So he did that on a 21-yard gain. Deebo Samuel's not really relevant to the conversation as to what's going on with the 49ers. Deebo Samuel is a schemed player. Deebo Samuel is not a top five receiver in the league in terms of twitchiness, route running ability, ability to separate. He's a schemed player who has to be part of an offense. Deebo Samuel is not really relevant to the conversation. What happened on Sunday was, when you play with a backup quarterback and a quarterback that hasn't started a game since 2021, you need two things to happen. You need your offensive line to be dominant so your run game can be a factor, and you need your defense to play at a really high level. Neither one of those things happen. This game had nothing to do with Deebo Samuel.
Greg, I want to go back to the start of this game, the first drive and the first half. There was, I think the Packers ran it maybe three times where they had motion with Kraft, and then they had Reed go in sort of an orbit, and then there was a little pirouette from Jordan Love, and he'd hand it off to Josh Jacobs. I'm wondering, why were the Packers so effective running that play and a number of run plays against the 49ers?
Yeah, that was the second play of the game, was an 18-yard run, and they do what they've done much of the season, where they had Reed offset in the backfield, and then they sent Kraft in motion across the formation, and then, as you said, Reed went into kind of orbit reverse action motion. There were a lot of moving parts and a lot of backfield action. And on that run in particular, it happened a couple of times. Both stacked backers, Warner and Campbell, they went on, you know, they reacted to all the action. So Jacobs was clean to the third level, where he made, you know, Brown miss in space. But that's one thing that the Packers have done really well all year. Reed is their movement player. They probably use motion top three, top four in the league, and Reed's the motion player. So there's just so much action going on in the backfield. There's a lot of eye candy, and it plays with the discipline of second-level defenders. And by the way, talking about the Packers, which relates to the Niners, I assume because of Allen playing quarterback, the Niners decreased the amount of motion and formation variation that they used in this game tremendously. I'm certain that has to do with the fact that Allen played quarterback. So they almost had to play somewhat of a vanilla game, and that's why the O-line was critically, critically important, and the O-line did not play well at all.
Greg, I couldn't agree with you more. Loneal here. Just watching this 49er team the whole year, something's been missing. I can't seem to put my hand on it. Doesn't seem like in the second half they can finish. Used to be the 49ers in the second half, fourth quarter, you just knew the running game was going to take over. You watched them against Arizona, 3 minutes left. Arizona, they're beating Arizona. Arizona took the ball and just drove it down. The inconsistency, the continuity team haven't beat a team over 500. What do you think has been the missing ingredients for just the sustainability of success, consistency?
Well, I think there's a number of factors, and in any given game they can show up. And again, as you know, Lo, there's so many ways to play and win in the league. So when a team loses, everybody questions how they're playing. But, you know, you can win multiple ways.
Sure.
So defensively, this is a team that has the second lowest blitz percentage in the league. Now, people can say, as they're listening to this, or as they may know, that, oh, you got to start blitzing because, you know, that's what you got to do. Well, maybe you do, maybe you don't. We don't know the answer to that. But the reality is right now, they don't blitz very much. So they rely on their down for their defensive linemen to rush the quarterback, and they're a coverage-based defense. If you're not going to get pressure, and sometimes you don't, then you can be beaten in the pass game. I think the O-line this year has not played as well overall. I think even when Purdy's only missed one game up to this point, I think Purdy has not been as comfortable. Now, maybe it's because of the O-line. You'd have to get into his head, and he's not going to tell you. But I think Purdy has been a little quick to react and leave the pocket this year, which I think has impacted the consistency of the pass game. It's a highly schemed pass game. This is not a pass game built on the great play of one wide receiver. Now, obviously, Ayuk's a really, really good player, and he's gone for the year. So, yes, is he a miss for sure that he's not out there? But the pass game's not built on, hey, we better get the ball to Brandon Ayuk or else. That's not the way this pass game is. It's highly schemed off a ton of motion, a ton of run action, and that hasn't really been as big a factor this year because Purdy has not been as consistent in executing it that way.
Greg Cosell with us here on Willard and Dibbs, Greg Cosell of NFL Films. You've been complimentary of Nick Bosa in the past, Greg, even when he's not putting up crazy sack or tackle for loss numbers because he's just getting all the attention of the opposing offensive line and fullbacks and running backs that are chipping him and making his life miserable. Getting to see the Niners defense and specifically the run defense getting ran over by the Packers run game, Josh Jacobs and company, how big of an impact is Nick Bosa not being out there? What did you see from the Niners on tape and just how much they missed Nick Bosa on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's Bosa's obviously a great player, but I mean, there were too many runs in this game in which the 49ers D-line just got physically handled at the point of attack. They were beaten both in one-on-one situations. They were driven out by double teams. I'm sure Bosa would have had an impact on some plays, but he wouldn't have had an impact on every single play. It was just, this was an odd game for the Niners. They were physically beaten on both sides of the ball in this game, and it started with both lines. That's why I wasn't trying to be sarcastic about Deebo Samuel, but he had nothing to do with this game whatsoever. So, you know, they were just beaten on both lines, and that doesn't usually happen. I mean, keep in mind that the Packers had 42 rushing attempts for 169 yards. I mean, I haven't looked at history, but I can't imagine in recent years that a 49er defense played against 42 rushing plays.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, you're probably right. I mean, they very even rarely give up 100 rushing yards in total, and they had that nearly at halftime, the Packers did.
Yeah, no, I think Jacobs was, what, 19 for 91 at the half, yep. So, and the Packers were also 6 for 8 on third down conversions in the first half. In the first half, I think the Packers ran for, I believe, 120 in the first half alone.
Greg, as far as the run game goes, how much of it, you know, I think in a game like this, people start to consider whether the wide nine in and of itself is a way to go going forward, or if they have the personnel to sort of use that and obviously they're not using it every single down, but I think it comes into question. How much do you consider that something to consider scheme-wise going forward or a personnel issue?
You're talking about on their defensive front?
Yeah.
You know, that's a good question. I know there's a lot of teams that play that front, you know, as a base defense, and then they rely on their stacked backers. And obviously Warner has been the best backer in football for a number of years. You know, I don't think this, he would probably say this past game wasn't his best game either. But, you know, that's the way they play. So the question, you know, you know how it is. When a team's been really good, and sometimes I think people forget how good the Niners have been. See, they haven't won a Super Bowl, so there are probably some people who think, oh, they're not good. But, I mean, they've been really good for a number of years. I would imagine, well, I know this for a fact because I've talked to coaches, not their coaches, I mean coaches over the years in my job, it's very difficult to decide to change something that has been really effective for a long time. Mm. I know fans think that's easy. Oh, just change. It's not working today. But, you know, that's a hard thing to do because you've been really successful doing it. So that's a hard question to answer. You know, I'm not smart enough, you know, to know the answer to that. Sometimes coaches don't know the answer to that. And they stay with something, it doesn't work. Or they change, and that doesn't work. So that's a hard question to answer.
Hey, I couldn't agree with you more. When you think about the run game of the 49ers, that zone stretch play, and you watch McCaffrey, it's usually one cut, north and south, get the defense moving, get you north and south. But of late, you just see him have to stop his feet. Pursuit can come backside and get him because now it's not one cut. It's I have to stop the cut and pursuit. What is going on, or what can they do, in your opinion? What do you think needs to happen far as offensively, schematically, or just player-wise, to get this running game going? Because you know this team we saw in the playoff run the ball 40 times and only throw the ball 8. What seems to be the missing ingredients with the consistency in the run game?
Well, I think in the last couple of weeks, the O-line has not played very well at all. I mean, in this game in particular, because they tried to get McCaffrey outside, every time he cut downhill, there were three Packers who seemingly were unblocked.
Sure.
Just right there. You know, I know there's probably been a lot of talk about McCaffrey. I watched it very carefully. I even had my guys in the matchup room here at NFL Films take a look at it, and nobody thought that there was anything wrong with McCaffrey. Every time he made a downhill cut, and the reason he probably started to hesitate is he's looking for a gap. You know how those runs are. You kind of,
sure,
you don't have to just hit one gap. You kind of hit the, you know, when you see the gap, you hit it. And there was really no gap to hit. And I got to tell you, in this game, and I made this note, I thought that the Packers front six and their nickel defense played at a much faster speed than the 49er offense, both in the run game and rushing the quarterback. They just looked like two different speeds. And, you know, this was just a bad game. Now, the question is this, you know, is this a sign of things to come, or is this just a bad game, which, you know, can happen in the course of a 17-game schedule? But they just, they looked slow on both sides of the ball relative to the Packers.
I agree with you. I've been seeing that, too. You're saying this, you're preaching to the choir here. When you look at moving forward, when you look at a team that possibly, I believe, is probably the best team in the AFC, the Buffalo Bills, and another now fighting for the playoff hope. Compare and contrast these two teams, and what are we looking for this week?
Well, the Bills have won 7 in a row. The Bills are really they're as sound and solid fundamentally on defense as any team in the league, because they're not a high-percentage pressure defense in terms of blitz, but they're so sound fundamentally, particularly in how they play on the back end. And they've got a really good linebacker in Terrell Bernard, who's turning into a really good pro. And Greg Rousseau is a pass rusher. I mean, he's going to be matched against McKivitz, and that's could be a little bit of an issue. And offensively, I mean, they've really worked hard to be balanced, and they're, I think, among the top 5 or 6 in the league in terms of run-pass ratio. But they've got a quarterback who's a playmaker. And the one thing that he's done this year is he's cut back on the turnovers. He's become, you know, a little more aware of game situations, because that's really what managing a game is. A lot of people think that, you know, being a game manager is a negative pejorative term. It's not. It's understanding every situation in the game and making sure you play to that situation. And I think Josh Allen has done a better job of that. But as we saw, you know, 2 weeks ago, he can always make those special plays in critical moments, and that can happen at any point in the game.
Greg Cosell of NFL Films with us here on Willard and Dibs, but it's Mark Grandy, Lo Neal, and Jake Hutchinson with you filling in for Willard and Dibs. You mentioned Josh Allen. Maybe there's another Allen starting at quarterback in this game, potentially, if Brock Purdy can't go. That's Brandon Allen, who got his first start in nearly 3 years on Sunday in Green Bay. Excuse me. You brought him up earlier today. He's not Brock Purdy, but what did you see from Brandon Allen, and how is the Niners offense limited in what they are able to do with him at quarterback versus Brock Purdy?
Well, I thought overall he didn't play poorly. I thought the O-line didn't help him at all. There were a number of plays. I could, in just seeing the tape again in my mind right now, there were at least 3 plays in this game where there were wide open receivers on in-breaking routes and the pass protection broke down. And he just did not have security in the pocket to deliver the football. But, you know, I think the difference was, and if he has to start again, maybe it'll be different this week because he has another week of practice. But what stood out watching the offense was how limited it was from a formation and movement standpoint. There was significantly less formation variation and deployment of movement before the snap. I have to believe that was a function of Allen at quarterback. So if he's now going to be the starter and they know that, and obviously they don't have to tell us and they're not going to, but if it turns out that he's the guy who's going to take all the first team reps this week, my guess is they'll add to that because he'll just have, you know, a little more experience now with the offense and with the system. But it really did not look like the 49er offense, and they really struggled with their O-line.
Greg, just going to Ricky Pearsall here, you obviously spoke in past weeks of how you admired him. I couldn't agree more. I think he's potentially a really dynamic player, but I think the way the game went last Sunday, they couldn't really get the ball to him and operate the offense the way they wanted. He hasn't been targeted very much these last 2 weeks. What have you seen from him, and is there any reason for concern there?
You know, I don't think so. Again, I think it comes down to the fact that this offense at its core is really more scheme than built on individual players. So when it's working effectively, you know, I think, you know, it depends on the week, but guys get the ball. I mean, it's like when he scored the touchdown a few weeks ago on that 46-yarder, you know, that play wasn't called to say, let's get the ball to Ricky Pearsall. That's the way the defense played out on that particular play, and the ball went to him. I think that's the nature of this offense. It's not built around one guy, and certainly the last couple of weeks, the pass game has not looked like the 49er pass game. There were a few moments in this game where Allen kind of got into a little bit of a rhythm, but they were few and far between. You'd hope that this week, you know, if he plays again and takes all the first team reps, that he can get into a little more of a rhythm. But the run game it's so critical. It's not a matter of running for 200 yards, but it needs to be a sustaining element, because you can't get caught in too many long yarded situations with Allen. You just can't. He hasn't played a lot of football.
No question. Just swinging it back to defense here for a second. I think Jair Brown is a guy that fans have had a lot of hope for, and there's been some inconsistency from him in terms of, is he sort of a foundational piece for them in the secondary? I'm just wondering what you've seen from Jair Brown, both as a coverage player and sort of triggering downhill to runs.
Yeah, I think he's really gifted. I think he's probably, you know, hasn't played as an impact player. Like, I think when you watch their defense, and since Mustafa's become the other safety, you see more sort of competitive toughness, impact plays in the run game from Mustafa than you do from Brown. Now, again, that doesn't mean he's not a good player, but given his size, his physical attributes, his pure athleticism, I think they'd probably want to see a little more in terms of being an impact-type playmaker on the back end. So, you know, he's still a young player, so you're waiting for that. You know, they've got some young players in the secondary. I assume what happened this week. So was Renardo Green then benched late in the game? Was it a benching?
I think he had a minor injury, right?
He did have a minor injury late in the game, but I'm with you. If it was a benching, I think people asked that because it didn't look like his best game.
No, it didn't, but I think he's going to be a really good player. And, you know, I think sometimes what happens is people expect that guys are never going to make bad plays. You know, this is the NFL. Oh, you know this. This is the NFL. Guys, sure. You know, there's a lot of good players out there. You're not going to make a great play or even a good play on every snap. It just doesn't work that way. So, you know, I really like Renardo Green, and I think for the most part he's played really well, just like you're talking about Brown. You know, I think Brown has a lot of really strong athletic and physical traits. You know, we'll see how he develops. You know, we can't say he's not a good player because he's not been in the league long enough to say that.
Yeah. Greg, appreciate your time as always. We always love hearing your insights on everything Niners related, and we'll catch up with you again next week, okay?
Appreciate it, guys. Have a great holiday weekend.
Right. Thanks. You too. Thanks, Greg. That's Greg Cosell of NFL Films with us here on Willard and Dibbs. Grandy, Lowe, and Hutch in for Willard and Dibbs.
I thought he made some valid points. I think the biggest thing that I take away is the offensive line's not creating new line of scrimmage.
Yep. No question.
He sat there and he talked about, hey, look, everyone's talking about McCaffrey, and that's what I alluded to. I was telling you guys, and we all agreed that it's not McCaffrey. He has to stop, and there's two and three guys, and he's not able to break those tackles. And that's what we talk about. A guy like Jordan Mason is just – he's just going to go downhill and just try to run over guys. So we're saying the same thing. Here's a guy just saying this offensive line has underperformed. And he's saying they have to create a new line of scrimmage. He's talking about the passing game. It's not predicated on necessarily receivers. It's predicated on scheme. and the scheme is not working well, and he's talking about the scheme is not working well. Why? Because it starts up front with the in the trenches.
That's,
we keep talking about building. If this team's going to get back to what it needs to do, it's got to build in the trenches, because this scheme is predicated on how well you can run the ball, and I've got to have the trench guys to make the scheme work.
No question. I love listening to Greg Cosell talk, just the way he looks at film. I don't think there's anyone that's not in, you know, on an NFL team that watches more than him. But yeah, I think it's something where you go into this week, and when people want to say, okay, the Niners can turn this around. Okay, well, your fundamental problem is that your offensive line is not getting push in the run game, which is where you found this team, and you have no reason to believe that that's going to change, because you're running with the same guys out there unless Trent Williams comes back. I honestly think Jalen Moore actually had a decent game. I don't think he was the problem. Obviously, it's not even remotely in the same atmosphere as Trent Williams, but you're running with the same, you know, left guard and center, and how is that going to suddenly improve and you're going to get all of these explosive runs that haven't been there for weeks?
Yeah, and I think to the point that we broke down yesterday, it's the same on the other side of the ball. We didn't have enough time with Craig. I was going to ask him about Fred Warner, but I'm sure he would feel the same way on the flip side, where Fred Warner's not the problem, just like McCaffrey isn't the problem. It's that Fred Warner's having to take on offensive linemen, and we're getting to the second level when generally, when Fred's been at his best, you got your nose tackle taking on those guys, and then Fred's free to track down the ball carrier.
Right, and he also alluded to, he said, hey, look, defensively, he said, they're not getting it done either. He said Nicky Bosa wouldn't have necessarily had the impact that we assumed that he would have had, because everyone else got beat elsewhere. So when you, and he talked about things that we've been talking about, he said, guys were getting pushed off the line. He said guys were getting double-teamed pushed off.
If you can win one-on-one there, one-on-one there, one-on-one there, then you can put two guys on Nick Bosa and it won't matter.
And that's what he was talking about. He just said, you saw this defensive front get beat up. They got double-teamed, creating a new line of scrimmage. He said the Packers pretty much had their way.
And, folks, it's not a surprise. Teams know where to attack the 49ers. They're number one in the league. 57% of the time, teams run it inside on them. They know where to go because you don't have to worry about their defensive tackles. And then you throw your offensive lineman, climb to the second level, and take out Fred Warner. And you can take your chances with a safety or Devondre Campbell or whoever else it is, because if you run it inside, there's not a lot of pushback from this team, and that's just fundamental.
Yeah, Josh Jacobs versus Devondre Campbell in space. I know who I'm taking.
No question, and that's what a lot of people don't realize. When you're playing against a dominant run linebacker that can run sideline to sideline, you run right at him because of the fact now you have to put a guy on him. When you run sideline to sideline, if you try to catch Fred Warner, you can't catch him because you've got to run sideways trying to catch Fred Warner. He's too fast. He's too quick. You're running full speed. He can dip, stop, cut underneath you. And that's why he makes offensive linemen look bad in space. That's why they're saying, okay, how do we stop Fred Warner from being great? Run at him, double team the nose guard, push up to him, scoop up to him, and now make him run a hump, make him run through a guy to make a tackle. It just doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. And listen, I think Fred's still playing really well. It's just we watched him play as genuinely a defensive player of the year for probably the first four games of the season. I watched him, I think it was this week, he carried somebody up the seam in the way that no other linebacker in the league can do. But so much is being asked of him to fill in the run game. It's just taxing. And with that ankle injury he had, I think it was against the Patriots, I'm sure that's worn on him too. Yeah. There's just a lot on his shoulders. And without Dre Greenlaw next to him, it's tough.
Yeah, I don't think there's ever been more on Fred Warner's shoulders than there are right now. All right, time for a break. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. We are going to change gears to basketball in a moment. We've got Steve Kerr coming up in 17 minutes. At 5 o'clock, but you also are going to want to hear what Deebo Samuel had to say. He spoke on his podcast. He defended Kyle Shanahan. The question came up, should Shanahan be on the hot seat? You're going to want to hear what Deebo Samuel had to say about that. That's coming up when we return. It's Willard and Dibs, Grandy, Lo'Neal, Hutch with you. More coming up next on 95.7 The Game.